This is the Power Podcast. My name is Sarah of Underground Crowds. We hit Bible topics,
smash book studies,
punch out some songs here and there,
and light up
His Word to strengthen our souls. Thanks for listening.
Okay, so hopefully this is working. I'm double checking. We'll try to post these on YouTube again as well, like last week and the week before, but we are now on a new topic. We are going to talk about how God is interested in justice. The thing that's interesting in a little bit of studying that I did about this concept, and one of these days I think he'll redirect me to a book again, but not today. So, one of the interesting things that I've learned is that when God is interested in justice, He's not necessarily interested that you have all your stuff together before He exacts justice on your behalf. Why do I say that? Well, we're going to visit the book of Judges, the end of 18, sorry, and chapter 19. And what you have to know about what was going on in Israel during that time, which Judges is a really interesting book study. But what you have to know is that the Israelites just kept home in a ditch, and God would send a judge. This was pretty much, I'm reading this from Bible.org, this is pretty much the cycle that they were in. Partial victory over the inhabitants of Israel, coexisting with the enemy, cooperating with the enemy, being corrupted by the Canaanites, and then a discipline, like they're plundered, they're kidnapped, they're, you know, some sort of disaster, and then God sends deliverance. And that's basically, and then when that judge dies, they lean into apostasy. So this is just going on and on and on and on in the book of Judges. Well, when we get to 18 and 19, there is no king. The Judges says this over and over again. And we find that this main character, Levite, is not doing what Levites are supposed to do. He's not even anywhere near the temple. He has a concubine, which is not a real wife. She's more or less there for sexual pleasure. She apparently was fed up with that, and she found somebody else and then went to go live with her dad. That's where we pretty much open up this situation. And so we might read through the whole chapter, but maybe I'll just give you I'm going to read a couple verses and then just give you an overview. Then the children of Dan set up for themselves a carved image. So we got apostasy going on. And Jonathan, the son of Gershom, this is the end of chapter 18, the son of Manasseh and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. So they set up for themselves Micah's carved image, which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. And it came to pass in those days, when there was no king in Israel, that there was a certain Levi staying in remote mountains of Ephraim. He took for himself a concubine from Bethlehem in Judah, but his concubine played the harlot against him and went away from him to her father's house at Bethlehem in Judah, and was there for 4 whole months. Then her husband arose and went after her to speak kindly to her and bring her back, having his servant and a couple of donkeys with him. So she brought him into her father's house, and when the father of the young woman saw him, he was glad to meet him. Now his father-in-law, the young woman's father, detained him, and he stayed with him 3 days. So they ate and drank and lodged there. So we're not talking about upright, We're not talking about a culture that isn't plummeted into idolatry. We're talking about a apostatized Israel. And yet as you go, so let's pray and then we'll get going. Lord, I ask that you would work in our hearts concerning this issue of justice and our current events and what we've been praying for with Afghanistan, particularly. And we set our sights on what world peace is. And that we are encouraged by the fact that you are interested, deeply interested in justice. I pray that we would glean and let this truth change us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, when we look at spiritual blessing, and we look at all the things that God promised Israel if they would obey, right? We see that there's a stark contrast between spiritual blessing out of a pattern of obedience and when God just decides, now's the time for justice. I want that to encourage those that are oppressed. Because often we look for the us to be just right, you know, and we should have a pattern of repentance in our life. We kind of look for signs that, and it's sort of a relationship that we have with Christ when he bestows spiritual blessing, even, you know, monetary blessing. When he gives us his peace, and we know we're, you know, called to put in our side of the relationship. This has nothing to do with our standing as a Christian or not a Christian. It's just a relational thing. I want those who have suffered, those that are oppressed, those that have waited a long time for God to do something, to be encouraged by the fact that they do not have to look for just the right amount of obedience, just the right amount of prayer time, just the right amount of, well, this, you know, they better get their act together, you know, before God does this. I don't want to get too calculator with that. That's not where I'm wanting you to go. But when it comes to justice, I don't want to say it has nothing to do with us. But it's the kind of thing that isn't dependent on us. So while on one hand it has to do with us, but for those that are oppressed, for those that are under the table, for those that are under your foot, stop. You're not looking at other people. When God decides to bring justice, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And so it frees us from depending on all ducks being in a row. When God decided to bring Jesus, ain't nobody was looking for it. No one was looking for it. The fullness of time had come. God sent his son. And no one had it marked. That was the time. No one was deserving. No one saw it. Wasn't on their calendar. So basically the story is, and I think a lot of you know it, they come to this, so let's skip this father. Father delays him. Maybe starstruck a little bit with Levi staying in his house or whatever. But finally they take off. And they start off. Okay. However, the man was not willing to spend. At verse 10, chapter 19, Judges. However, the man was not willing to spend that night. So he rose and departed and came opposite Jabus, that is, Jerusalem. With him were the two saddled donkeys, his concubine, and also with him. Was also with him, and they were near Jabus, and the day was far spent. And the servant said to the master, "Come, please, and let us turn aside into the city of the Jebusites and lodge in it." But his master said to him, "We will not turn aside here into a city of foreigners who are not of the children of Israel. We will go on to Gibeah." So he has some platitudes he keeps to. So he said to his servant, "Come, let us draw near to one of these places and spend the night in Gibeah or in Ramah." And they passed by and went their way, and the sun went down on them near Gibeah, which belongs to Benjamin. And they turned aside there to go to lodge in Gibeah. And when he went in, he sat down in the open square of the city, for no one would take them into his house to spend the night. There was no hospitality. Just then an old man came in from his work in the field at evening, who also was from the mountains of Ephraim. He was staying in Gibeah, whereas the men of the place were Benjaminites. And when he raised his eyes, he saw the traveler in the open square of the city. And the old man said, "Where are you going, and where do you come from?" So he said to him, "We are passing from Bethlehem to Judah toward the remote mountains of Ephraim. I am from there. I went to Bethlehem in Judah. Now I'm going to the house of the Lord. But there is no one who will take me into his house, although we have both straw and fodder for our donkeys and bread and wine for myself, for your female servant, and for the young man who is with your servant. There is no lack of anything." And the old man said, "Peace be with you. However, let all your needs be my responsibility. Only do not spend the night in the open square." So he brought him into the house and gave fodder to the donkeys, and they washed their feet and ate and drank. And they were enjoying themselves. Suddenly, certain men of the city, perverted men, surrounded the house and beat on the door. They spoke to the master of the house, the old man, saying, "Bring out the man who came to your house, that we may know him carnally." But the man, the master of the house, went out to them and said to them, "No, my brethren, I beg you, do not act so wickedly. Seeing this man has come into my house, do not commit this outrage. Look, here's my virgin daughter and the man's concubine. Let me bring them out now. Humble them and do with them as you please. But to this man, do not do such a vile thing." But the men would not heed him. So the man took his concubine and brought her out to them. And they knew her and abused her all night until morning. And then the day began to break. They let her go. Then the woman came as the day was dawning and fell down at the door of the man's house where her master was till it was light. When her master arose in the morning and opened the doors of the house and went out to go his way, there was his concubine fallen at the door of the house with her hands on the threshold. And he said to her, "Get up and let us be going." But there was no answer. So the man lifted her onto the donkey, and the man got up and went to his place. When he entered the house, he took a knife, laid hold of the concubine, and divided her into 12 pieces, limb by limb, and sent her throughout the territory of Israel. And so it was that all who saw it said, "No such deed has been done or seen from the day that the children of Israel came up from the land of Egypt until this day. Consider it, confer, and speak up." Whoa. Okay. So, this is messed up. And it sent all of Israel into shock. I want us to remember something about what peace actually is. Before we get into what happens next and how the whole of Israel turns against Gibeon and the Benjamites. War does not bring peace. I'm going to say that again. War does not bring peace. You're in a state of injustice. Don't look for violence. Don't look for a revenge tactic. Don't look for getting back. Don't look for those. First of all, the Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. But it is not the violence that brings peace. What brings peace? Any of you that are parents, have kids, and I'm not going to get into types of discipline, but what brings the peace back to your house is not taking away the gamer, making them have a timeout, whatever it is. That is not what brings the peace. It's the restoration of God's purpose for his plan and his creation, for his people and his creation. It's the restoration of God's viewpoint reinstated on his people and his creation. God's ways restored to people and creation. And so, yes, this is political, but I look at Afghanistan and say, war doesn't bring peace. Occupation doesn't bring peace. Taking over somebody's land doesn't bring peace. What brings peace? A restoration always of God's purposes, plans, viewpoints, laws to his people and creation. That's what peace is. And so if you're suffering from injustice, A, realize that it'll happen whenever God wants it to happen. These cats were messed up, but God's going to do something. And two, don't look for the violence to bring the peace. The revenge to bring the peace. Look for restoring God's plans, purposes, laws, viewpoints onto a people, onto his creation. Peace out. Again, thanks for listening. Catch the next part of this series, usually Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. You can also find Underground Crowds on Twitter, Patreon, Bandcamp, or undergroundcrowds.com.